Allow me to say welcome to those who came in after the welcome. Let me convey the welcome extended by Sister Madal to you on the behalf of all of us. And allow me to also inquire. There's anybody who came in after welcome and you're coming here for the very first time. Any such person? Coming for the very first time, you're coming in after the welcome. We welcome him. My name is Robert Campbell, pastor of the church. Tell me who you are.
I'm Oshane Briscoe, and I feel so pleased to allow me welcome here. And I also feel so grateful for the choir. It's so beautiful. And thank you all.
Bless you. We welcome in a very special way and welcome everybody else who have been coming all the time. We refer to some persons as visitors, but in a sense, you are all a part of this family at Old Dabba Bay Baptist Church. Whether you are a full-time member or you are a called visitor, we are just one family. Welcome. Good to have you all. May God continue to bless you and use you in many marvelous and precious ways. As I share with you this morning, we are bearing in mind that for the month of September, as we emphasize mission, that for this particular circuit of Baptist churches, the Old Dabba Bay circuit, which consists of three churches, that we are focusing on partnering with God to save sinners. Partnering with God to save sinners. As I contemplated that particular sub-theme and asked God to guide me in what should be shared today, I believe God led me to ask the question that is displayed: can God trust you with his praise? Can God trust you with his praise? I don't know why God wants us to contemplate that. But I believe he says to me that whatever else you don't remember from what is said today, let that question linger with you. A question that you must ask yourself, a question that is asked of you by God. Can God trust you with his praise? Let's pray. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning for this moment of reflection. Lord, you have helped me to contemplate some of what you'd want me to say that I believe you want me to say. But I'm very conscious of the fact that what you give is sometimes, most times, maybe oftentimes, a framework for the message you have in store for somebody. We believe, Lord, that there's a message. Message for every person here today. And the essence of the message is about our willingness and readiness to praise you at all times, in all times. Lord, we believe that you're always doing something new, something marvelous. And today we are waiting you to do something new, something marvelous. Change some hearts, change some lives, change some relationships, make them into hearts, lives, and relationships that bring glory to you and you only. So let the word of our mouths and meditation of all our hearts together find acceptance in your sight and bring glory to your name. This we pray. Amen. I believe that a big part of the problem that we face in the world is that there are too many persons who are too focused on self-praise. Praise for self. Bigging up self. Seeking to glorify self. And even sometimes when we are absolutely sure that the ways in which we have been blessed and the ways in which we have been advancing in life has nothing to do with us, but it's all because of who God is and what God has done, we still do not give God the praise that God deserves. And somehow we're hearing the voice saying in my head that even though at times we with our lips say we are praising God, God knows that it is only but just lip service. For God knows that despite what our lips are saying, that our lives are saying something else. I believe God would have led us to this story. A story that comes just after, even though some believe it might be just at the time of Pentecost, but just after maybe, or just about the time that Pentecost had taken place. A story, I believe, in which God seeks to glorify himself, seeks to bring attention to Jesus, seeks to advance his mission through what he does in the story. God has a way of showing up at a time he appoints, not only to do something for you, but to bring glory to his name through advancing his mission cause. I believe this is exactly what we see in this story. A story in which a man who was lamed was healed. And the ultimate ending of the story is that many persons were baptized and God was glorified in and through Christ Jesus. I believe that there are two little things that God wants me to mention and elaborate on before I close. I believe that God wants me to ask you again, can God trust you with his praise? With his praise through changing your story. Can God trust you with his praise through changing your story when he changes your story? Can God trust you with his praise? Will you give him the glory? I believe that what we see in the text essentially is a change of somebody's story. Everybody has a story. And it's interesting, I remember the little song which is done, which I cannot sing. I would not sing because it couldn't be true. But I think it's a song of a man to a woman when he says, the story of my life is very plain to read. It starts the day you came. It ends the day you leave. Not even my darling wife would say that about. Because my story is wrapped up and tied up and tangled up with God. And I wish she will always stay. But she does not change my story. My story is wrapped up in God. I believe that this man who was at the gate beautiful was not the only man who was disabled in those days. There are many persons who are handicapped, so to speak, in many ways. We read of them. Many persons who are blind and maimed and deaf and dumb. And we see God in and through Christ Jesus taking care of several of them that we read of in Scripture. This man at the gate, beautiful, when you read the text, would have been there before. Would have been there, not just that day, but have been there over a period of time begging. But this day was the day for his change. This day was the day for his blessing. This day was God's appointed day for his healing. For God had something more than just healing this man, so to speak, up his sleeve. God had a plan to bring glory to his name by changing this man's story. What was the story of this man? The man was there and he was disabled. The man was lame. The man was begging. The man was maybe hopeless and helpless. The man needed somebody to give him something, to lend him a helping hand. The man was maybe sometimes criticized and downsized and ostracized and publicized and all kind of sizing down. The man was maybe a man who felt like he was not really anybody much. The man was there at the gate because somebody like him who was lame could not enter the temple and could not go to the place where he needed to go in order to receive a sacrifice done for his sin so that he could receive his forgiveness from sin. The man had to stay on the outside while others were going on the inside. He was an outsider, outcast, marginalized man. But thanks be to God, by the time God was finished with him, his story was changed and God received the glory. I don't know why God wants me to say the things I say this morning. But I believe that there are many persons inside here this morning who are here and would like to see a change of your story. But your story is not reading too well. Your story is not looking good. Your tomorrow is not looking so bright. Your tomorrow is not looking like the way you want your tomorrow to look. But I believe that God wants to change somebody's story, even right here today. But I believe the important question God wants to ask you is that, can he trust you with his glory when he changes your story? For maybe God has put you where you are because God wants you to see that nobody can help you but him. And sometimes our situations get worse and worse and worse because there are some things that God wants us to stop depending on and start leaning and depending on Jesus. So when God heals you and changes your story, you don't give Tom the praise. You don't give yourself the praise. You don't give Harry the praise. But you give God the praise. And God sometimes puts your back against the wall because God wants, when he changes your story, he will give God the glory. Somebody praise God in this place. Hallelujah. So are you ready for God to change your story? I believe that is somebody's time here this morning. That for too long you have been crying. For too long You have been crying, "Why me, Lord?" for too long. You have been saying, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But as the passage in Isaiah says, the Lord is ready to do a new thing. He has seen your trouble and your travail, and is ready to do a new thing. Then he says in Psalm that we have read, in Psalm 34, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles." Maybe that's you this morning. But God wants you to make a promise. A promise that when he changes your story, you will give him the glory. That you're not like one of them who said, "God, if you could do this for me, I will praise you. I will start our church. I will give my life to you." How many times God has done it for you because you're a promised God? You think you're fooling God? You're fooling yourself. God knows you. And God knows all that you are telling. He knows your intention. Will God help your heart to be at that place this morning that you are not just trying to trick God, but you truly mean that, "If God, if you do it for me today, I shall pledge the rest of my life to you. And my living, and my relationships, and my speech, and my dressing, everything about me will give God the glory." There's somebody that God is challenging this morning. Not like the last time or the time before. But do you mean it this time? That when God changes your story, you will give God the glory. Let me just touch a second thing and finish. That will you give him the glory? It's a question. It's a question that we need to ask. The disciples, Peter and John, when the people started running toward them, that they could be tempted to begin to receive their praise and big up themselves. But what did they do? They asked them, "Why are you running to us like we have done something great?" And then they point to who they must give the glory. As you read on, you'll notice that there were some persons who were church leaders, or preferably, if you prefer, there were leaders of the Jewish synagogue who wanted to cramp their style, so they locked them up. They locked them up. But they were afraid to go the ultimate distance, because it says in Acts 4 that over 5,000 persons were converted because this man's story was changed and God was given the glory. When they tried to shut them up, this is what they said to them: that we rather to please God more than men. I had no fear for the life. And when they came out, there was a big prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, they give God the praise and the glory. Some marvelous things happen. For the people began to come together and put things in common. And they continue to look after each other. Because God was given the glory. Because this man's story was changed. You know, I ask a question, even though I would have said something about the first part, because God wants me to make it a separate thing. It's a question that asks us to really examine ourselves. Will you give God the glory? For there's a temptation not to. God wants you to give him the glory, because if we are going to partner with God in reaching or saving sinners, then a lot of time it is not so much what we say, but what we do. For we can give God the glory by the things we do. He says in Matthew chapter 5, something that is very important. He says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and be led to glorify the Father in heaven. Now, will you give him the glory? Is asking you to consider not just the way you speak from your lips, but the way you live your lives, the things you say, the things you do, the things that you do as you go about from day to day. Will you give him the glory? It's asking you to look deeply within yourself. It's asking you whether or not when people see you, do they see you glorifying God in and through the things you do, in and through the way you relate to people, in and through the way you respond to people. Will you give him the glory? Not just praise the Lord and hallelujah and amen, but will you give him the glory in everything you say and do every single day of your life, so that when people look at you, they will see the light of Jesus shining from you and want to be like you or want to glorify the Father in heaven that you serve? Will you give him the glory? Very important question. And I remember yesterday hearing a very interesting story. An interesting story, it says that people can know who you are and where you are and how you feel just by the radiant look they see on your face. I say that to say this, that sometimes the very way we look can turn off people. The very way our face look. Sometimes you see some people, you wonder if lime juice show up on their face. They're Christian, you know. But you wonder if lime juice throw away on their face. Although they're Christian. You know, a story talks about these men who went to Australia to find, some part in Australia to find gold. They found the gold, but they did not want anybody to know. But they knew they had to get some more supplies because they found more gold than they planned to find, that they thought they would find. So they went into the town to buy some supplies. And they decided that nobody would say a word to any of these town folks because they might follow them. So when they bought the supplies they were going, but they noticed that some town folks were packed and ready to go with them. And they start wondering how them knows them find gold. As you can't hide it with seat and your countenance and your faces. The truth is that when we find gold in Jesus, it shows on our very faces. It is manifested in our relationships. It is manifested in the way we treat people. We don't look down on people, but we big up people. And so today we kind of celebrate those who are on the beach and are in the fishing business. And we know why people can rub it the wrong way. When you deal with the public, it's not easy. I mean, even sitting in the office and people coming to me to do something. Sometimes if you're not careful, you don't do it for them. Because they're fresh and rude and out of order and downright feisty sometimes. And something you just pray for them and still do it. Because you're doing it for their sake. For their sake. Even though they don't deserve it, you don't think they deserve it. And sometimes, sister, my sisters, I know when you're on there sometime on the beach, that sometimes people come and you rub it the wrong way. But the question is, will you give God the glory? Important. When people rub it the wrong way, the question has to be asked, will you give him the glory? Or will you, if they tell your heart toward you, tell them back. And if they toe to toe, you toe to toe to. If they gone longer, Rocky Point, you're going to Rocky Point with them too. Is that your attitude? I could ask it of anybody else. At school, do you give God the glory? As you travel on the taxi, do you give God the glory? What kind of conversation do you start? And what kind of conversation do you have? Do you join with people in bringing down the mission of God by bringing down the church, talking about doors or your church brothers and sisters to the extent that people will say, if you say that about your church brothers and if you do them so, we are going to do me if we come to your church. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. The question is, will you give God the glory? As you live out your life on a day-to-day basis, does your relationship give God the glory? Are you don't business, you don't care. Because you're big and nobody can chat to you. When people think about your relationship and think about your attitude and think about your way you deal with them and act toward them, do they feel led to know Jesus because they have an encounter with you? Do they want to know the Jesus that you know? Are they turned off and put down and run away? Want to run away from anywhere you are? Will you give God the glory? So, the essence of the message is, God wants to change your story, but will you give God the glory? God knows your heart this morning. He knows where you are. And right now, maybe why you have not yet received that change. Because God knows he can't trust you with his praise. God knows you're just going to be like anybody else. You may come to church. You may sing and choir. You may play music. You may preach. You may lead. But even doing those things, sometimes you're turning off people. Aren't you? Maybe not. You're talking to the wrong set of people. But I need to ask myself the question, Robert Campbell, what you are doing, is it turning up people when you stand to preach because people are pointing fingers at you and say they don't want to hear from you because you live no life, you are worthless, you say bad things, you do bad things? Robert Campbell, are you standing in the ways of sinner rather than giving God the glory? I believe God wants me to rest my case. Because each of you must ask yourself the question. God maybe has changed some of your story, but yet still you're not giving God the glory. For some of you are blessed and highly favored, yet still you are bringing on God's name. God maybe wants to do more for you, but he wants to be able to trust you first. God knows who we can trust. I believe God knew he could trust the layman. God knew he could trust the blind Bartimaeus. God knew he could trust the blind man that we find in John chapter 9. But can God trust you? He couldn't trust Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar did not give God the prayers, but he took the prayers that God should get, and he was sorry. God put him down. Can he trust you with his prayers? He wants to do a new thing. Simple, easy, and straightforward. Can God trust you with his praise? When it changes your story, will you give him the glory? Amen.